Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Hashtag No Limits, and I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. A very simplified, quick version of what happens is that the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and just when it must think that its life is over, it reforms into the butterfly. While it's in the cocoon, though, it's not finished struggling. It still has to fight and struggle for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere that it's going to go. I can't imagine that that is easy, but neither is busting through limits that society places upon us. Before we jump into my guest today, I just want to remind you to like and subscribe to this channel. If you're watching live, give us a hashtag live and where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, give us a hashtag replay and where you're watching from. And as we go through today, or if you're watching in the replay, if you have any comments, please be sure to put them in. I will pop them up on the screen. And we will make sure that myself or Rachel responds to those if it's a necessary response. So today I'm really happy that I found Rachel. My husband and I like to travel. And when our daughter lived with us, she would travel with us. And while we didn't do it often, we really enjoyed the opportunities that we had. And traveling is something that for many people is something that is kind of off the table for them, not because of finances or work schedules, but because of a person in their family who is neurodivergent. And so I found Rachel a couple months back, and I'm really excited for her to share what she does, how she does it, why it's important, and what she can do to help you as well. So I think I've done all the businessy stuff. So let's bring Rachel on. Hi, Rachel. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I'm wonderful. So it's Christmas season right now. There are lots of people doing lots of traveling. So before we jump into that part, though, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah. So I have been working with families within the autism community for about 15 years. I've been a BCBA for 11 of those years. And I started in the field as just a BCBA working with the students within like a school system. But then I started doing a piece where I was doing parent training. And within that parent training, we really would focus on, okay, within our community, how can we get out and about? What are goals we can work on within the community? We also would work on a few like things that could help support like a road trip, but expanding that to an actual vacation, a trip, getting on an airplane, a cruise ship, going to a tropical island, like those were never anything that I knew anything that like resources about. So I wasn't going to share that with families, but families would occasionally ask like, do you know the resources available so we can get on airplane? And I didn't at the time, but it was always in the back of my mind of, okay, how can I support these families? They want to travel. So many families want to travel, but they just don't have the resources. So I became a travel advisor for a company called Travelmation, and we have a director of accessible travel. And from there, I've been able to combine my BCBA skills and my travel advisor skills and really support families within the autism community find the resources that are available to them. And so that's kind of how it started. And then it's just been expanding from there.
That is incredible. And there are so many things that as special educators, whether we be in the therapy side of things or as a teacher, that parents want to know, and we often don't have the answers because it's impossible for one person to have all the answers. And for anybody who doesn't know, I try not to just use acronyms and not explain them. So BCBA stands for Board Certified Behavior Analyst. And Rachel had to go through a massive amount of education and training. I have mad respect for those who go through with the BCBA because I looked into it and I don't have the wherewithal to do all that's necessary to become one. So kudos to you for doing that. Give, in case there is somebody who doesn't really know what a BCBA can do in the school systems, if you could just give a brief overview of that before we jump into your travel company.
Yeah, I mean, within the school system, it definitely varies on the supports I provide. Some I'm just maybe consulting to the teachers and the staff to give them some ideas, but others I could be in there collecting data, working with the staff on how to collect data to then determine, okay, what is the function of the behavior? Let's do a functional analysis or a behavior assessment and determine what the function is. And then we create a behavior plan and we'll create goals to increase the behaviors we're looking for and decrease the behaviors that we want to lower. So we may work on communication skills. We may work on self-help skills. There's all different types of goals we can target within the school system. And I support that, the team.
Okay, perfect. And I think most people that watch or listen to this podcast are familiar with that. But I always just try, like I said, to not have acronyms because I know in our field of education, we speak in alphabet soup. Most occupations have alphabet soup. And so I just try to make sure that everybody has that same understanding and baseline. And so what is it that, I mentioned it and you kind of mentioned it, like, okay, people want to go on vacation. They have the financial resources, they have the time off of work. So why can't they just go? What prevents people who you work with in the autism community, but in the special needs community in general, from going on a vacation, just picking up and going?
Yeah, I mean, there's many different things depending on the skills that their child has. But going through an airport is a lot. A first time going through an airport, if you're not sure how your child is going to respond, that can be extremely overwhelming. And that could be where it's, okay, I don't feel comfortable doing that, so I'm not going to go on a vacation. There's opportunities, there's cruise ships, things like that, but there's water involved. What if a child is an eloper? What considerations and safety precautions need to be in place for that? There's the amusement parks. I mean, Walt Disney World is one of the most popular destinations I get for requests, but there can be long wait times. So what are the resources that Walt Disney World is providing for these families? There are some. So there's a lot of different areas that families just don't know. They see, oh my goodness, well, Disney World has all these lines. It's crowded. What are the supports? I don't know. So we're just not going to go. But I'm here to help with that piece.
That's awesome. So you mentioned the word eloper. And again, those of us in the education world know that. And before I was in education and heard that term, if someone said elope, I was thinking a couple who runs off to get married. So I just want you to, you know, for again, someone who might be listening who doesn't know what that word looks like and defined in the education world.
Yeah. So if maybe you are at a busy location within Disney World and the child runs off because maybe it's loud and they can't take the volume is too much for them. So they run to try to find a quiet place, but the parents lose them. So then that's what we can kind of consider someone that runs away from an individual without being told the kid.
Yeah. And we often, I'm imagining that there might be someone who is listening and they think, well, just hold your kid's hand. They're not going to elope if you hold their hand. Do you have any response to that?
Yeah. I mean, some of the kids we maybe are, I mean, I work with lots of different age groups. So some are 30, 40 years old, are going to amusement parks, but have a disability. So that is a little bit trickier just to hold their hand. Also, you could be getting something out of a diaper bag and the kid is bolting. I mean, I'm a mom of three. I can't hold all three kids' hands at once either.
Right.
I mean, you could put them in a stroller, but still they can get out of the stroller. There's all types of situations that we try to plan for the safety, but there is times where a kid is just standing there without having someone holding their hand or in a stroller.
It's right. And it just does take a second. And I mean, I think even in the school environment where you know, some classrooms have a teacher and a paraprofessional and maybe only five students. But when someone has that need for elopement, it's hard to keep them from doing it.
Yes.
And so when we're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of people at a Disney World, for example, what is one of the things that you can talk to families about if they do have an eloper in their family? What sort of things does Disney have in place? We'll go Disney specifically, but then kind of broaden out into what some ideas for other travelers might be.
Yeah. I mean, Disney is, people don't probably realize the security at Disney. It is amazing. They have cameras everywhere. So that's a nice piece, but also there's other resources. I mean, like I said, I bring strollers. I have three kids. I was in Disney last week and I had a double stroller and a single stroller because when the kids are tired, we're always throwing them in strollers. So strollers are helpful, but also, I have tattoos I'll put on my kids. So, it's like a, just one I can make on my printer. I print them out and it just has my phone number, my husband's phone number, no names for safety purposes, but our phone numbers are there in case a kid is wandering and someone comes across them, they can see those phone numbers and call us immediately. Also, the Apple AirTags is a nice feature. If your kid will wear a watch or you're able to put it in a pants, clip it on to their clothing somehow. There's some other autism specific trackers that have been created. I think Angel Sense is what it's called for one of them. Mm-hmm. There are things that can provide that extra layer of comfort for families, for someone that may run off or in the crowds, you may just be walking and it's so crowded that you could lose a kiddo quickly. So there are those resources.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And I think about when our daughter was little and we just had one and it was my husband and I, and, you know, between the two of us, one of us, we think always had an eye on her, but it's like you said, in a crowded area, you know, you get to looking around yourself. I mean, you're as the parent, you're checking everything out. Like, what's the shortest route? Where's the shortest line? You know, how am I going to get, where's the bathroom? And sometimes even if you are holding somebody's hand, it sort of becomes, I don't want to use the word numb, but it's like you get so used to holding it that you don't realize when it's not there. Sometimes a kid lets go and, you know, because they saw Mickey Mouse or they saw something shiny and they were like, I want that. Yeah. And they just drift away. So when you talked about those tattoos, you said you can make them on your printer. Do you have a special printer or is that something anybody can make?
Yeah, anyone can make them. So you can just order the printer paper from Amazon and then I create a Canva like icon. I actually send it to my clients. So I create that and then you just put it in Word, like you flip it so that when you print it and put it on, it's then the right way. Mm-hmm. So there's a few steps involved, but I have made them from home with the printer paper. It's maybe $10 for a pack of printer paper from Amazon. And then you just use your home printer to print.
Okay. That's awesome. That is something that I hadn't heard of. And I have heard of parents writing a phone number either with, you know, a permanent marker or, you know, some pen or something. So how long does the paper version last?
Yeah, I mean, the tattoos, it depends on the time of year. In the summer when I'm loading sunscreen onto my kids, say I'm having to put a new one on every day. But in the winter, they last a few days. But they're great. And I mean, I like them because it's easy to just put on. The marker is another great strategy. My kids were not the biggest fans of tattoos at first, I will say. So mm-hmm. we did have to kind of like desensitize them with fun tattoos, dinosaurs and, you know, fun things that we have around the house. So we started there. And then when we went to Disney, it was then easy to apply that tattoo. I have Mickey on it as well. So it's a little bit it's not just boring phone numbers for the kids. There's a picture of Mickey. So that's a great little feature for families and the safety, it's just a little safety feature.
Right. Okay. So we talked about that Walt Disney has cameras all over the place. These tattoo options, the AirTags, the Apple Watches. a lot of those were things that the parent is doing. Does Disney have, besides all the cameras, anything built in for families? Like you mentioned, so we talked about the eloper, but we also mentioned the standing in lines for long periods of time. Is there anything that comes from Disney to address that?
Yeah. So there's the disability pass that you can apply for. So if you have a trip 60 days prior, you can apply for this pass. You go through an interview process, and they do need to have the individual present at the end of the interview for like a picture. But you share with them why it's going to be challenging for your child to wait in a line. Because some of these lines for some of these rides, some of the popular rides, it could be 2 hours, which I mean, I can't even imagine.
Right.
So waiting in line for 2 hours is just not possible. So instead of that, you can apply for this disability pass, and then you get to use the lightning lane. So the lightning lane is a different line than the typical line for each ride, and it's typically much shorter. I mean, I've not waited more than probably 10, 15 minutes when I've used the lightning lane. Yeah. So you can purchase lightning lane, which is what my family has done in the past, is we purchase the lightning lane because, my kids are little. They're 1, 4, and 6. We're not waiting 2 hours in a line for their favorite rides. So, but with the disability pass, it doesn't come with a fee. So if you get the approved for the pass, then you have access to it. And what happens is you walk into the park, you're able to then check into your first ride. It's going to give you a return time. So if you wanted to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in Magic Kingdom, you'll check into the park and it'll say, okay, you can return between 9 and 10. And then you go to the ride, then get in the lightning lane and have that less time to wait than the typical wait time. And it's nice. If you were at Disney and used the disability pass years ago, you had to go up to the ride, say you wanted a pass, and then come back. And that was really hard for families because the kid would see the ride and then be told, sure, like, okay, you got to come back later. So now you check in on the phone and then you go to the ride when it's your time to go on. And then once you're on that ride, you can then check into a new ride.
Wonderful. That's awesome. And do you feel... And I guess this would probably be something your clients would tell you, that it's a real arduous task to go through the application process for the disability pass, or is it kind of simple? Is it a long process?
So the interview, I mean, it can be quick. They'll ask some questions. I typically tell my families, like, when you are going through this interview, you don't know what's going to happen. If you're having to wait in a 2-hour line, I mean, it's possible your kid could have their worst tantrum ever. So that's what you're going to explain to them. You are going to let them know that, yeah, I don't go to the grocery store with my kid if that's the case. Like, I can't go to the grocery store. We can't go shopping because of these meltdowns. I mean, you have to explain like what has been the worst case as something that could happen, because if you're just like, yeah, they may be able to wait in line, they're not going to approve you. This is for people that really need it. But most of our families do really need it. It could be one time a year that we do have a larger episode that can be concerning, but that one time could be at Disney. So let's make sure we have those resources in place. This is a antecedent strategy for these families. That's something that we're like proactively doing. We're putting this in place to help prevent a behavior from happening. And so we really have to explain to Disney that the need is there.
And so let's say a family has this disability pass and they're in line and something happens and the child has their biggest meltdown. Is there any support from Disney facilities or staff at that point?
So I have not heard of something like that happening. So I don't know specifically if Disney, I mean, the staff typically are good. I think they would help them find a quiet spot and then let them come back to the ride at a later time if that was something the family wanted to do. But the staff in that moment they're not like respite providers.
Sure.
But so there's only so much they can help with in the family in that moment. But there are resources that if you want a one-on-one respite provider, there's Autism on the Seas they provide respite support. So in Disney World. So there's designated trips each year. We released those last week and we have had over 500 families reach out wanting to go to Disney with respite support. The need is significant. So many families want to go to Disney world. And they feel having that one-on-one support is huge for them. I mean, obviously it comes with an expense, but then you do have that one-on-one with you. So if there is a crisis, you have someone there that is experienced working with families with autism. Most of the staff within autism on the C's is people that work in education, BCBAs, speech, OTs, like they're there providing these services. I mean, I had one family reach out. This will be their fifth trip this next year. And they like that's they only go to Disney with Autism on the Seas support because it is so beneficial to them.
That's incredible. And how does someone, before we get too far into this, access these resources? Do they have to go through directly to Disney? Can they go through you?
So this is all through me. So I am for any travel I can help support by just emailing me at the Rachel Morelli at Travelmation with an M.net. Or you can go onto my webpage, rachelmorellitravel.com, and I have a form there. Once you fill that out, I typically set up a phone call to determine like what type of trip are you looking for? And we talk through the needs of your child. And then we kind of create a plan of, okay, what type of trip are we going to plan? And then I may send quotes from there, or depending on where the conversation goes. For the Autism on the Sea specific trips, you can fill out the request forms on Autism on the Seas for those Disney trips. And then it goes to me and one of the other Travelmation agents. We're the two travel advisors that do the Disney bookings for that. So I am the one coordinating that as well.
Okay. So for anyone who is just listening, you can do one of two things. I will spell her name and the travel site in just a second, but you can also look up the website. Look up the YouTube. I was not expecting it to go away, so I need to go back in and make it come back because I don't know what happened to it. Here we go. Oh, this is the problem. There's a new feature on my site here. So it's Rachel Morelli, @travel, TRAVELM as in Mickey Mouse, ation.net. So Rachel Morelli at travelmation.net. That is the website. And then scrolling across the bottom of the screen, it is her website, which is rachelmorellitravel.net. So you lose the mation part of it. So just be sure that if you are listening, you either find this on YouTube and you look it up there, or you can actually, like I said, hopefully the spelling that I just did will make it easy for anybody to find it. And I'm going to try.
I just realized the website is .com.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's Rachel Morelli Travel, just .com.
Oh, okay. So is the email nation?
That's right. That's .net. But then the website is...
Travel. Okay. So I'm going to pop that back up again. And I think, okay, so that's that one.
Yep, that's correct.
And then
I'm going
to pop in here and the website is .com. So I'm going to change that, change this, turn that. Okay. All right. There you go, so rachelmorellitravel.com. Yes. Okay. So rachelmorellitravel.com. And so she talked about the form there that you can fill out, and she will be able to help you. Or you said you had another person that might be able to help them. They may not specifically get you.
For those two, you will get me. If you go to the Autism on the Seas to fill out their Disney request resorts, like form, then you'll get me, or Jordana Izzo is the other one who you may, it goes to our accessible at Travelmation email. So
onto
that one.
Autism, did you say by or on the Seas?
Autism on the Seas.
And is it dot what?
Dot com.
Okay. So I'm going to put that one up here as well, just for a few seconds. Autism on the Seas, and it's spelled all those words. There's no spacing or anything. So You can check that out as well. So when I asked a minute ago about, you know, if someone does have a meltdown, does Disney or any of the major theme parks have any sort of sensory spaces that people can go to if even before they have a meltdown happening that they can just go to get regulated again?
So Disney does not have specific spaces, but I try to let my families know of quiet spaces within each park. Usually there's some quieter areas that I recommend for those families. Like at Epcot, around the countries, there is Morocco, which is beautiful, but if you kind of wander in the back, it's not as busy as some of the other parts of Epcot. So like things like that, I do recommend to the families.
Okay, perfect. And do most of these theme parks that we're talking about, I mean, we've really focused mostly on Disney, but like, what do you know about Six Flags or some of the parks that are smaller?
Yeah.
That are like that.
Yeah. So there's like Sesame Place, Hershey's Park, things like that, Six Flags. So they do have something called the accessibility card through IBCCES. So you can apply for that accessibility card through IBCCES. And then even Universal, that's what they accept as well. So you have that accessibility card and then you present that, and that helps with the shorter lines within those theme parks. And some of those parks have some of those quieter areas, but they're trying, but the rooms aren't always the best. I had a family say that they went to, I think it was Hershey Park maybe, and the room was just, I mean, it was like the size of a small bathroom with no windows, no, like there was no furniture, nothing. So it was very like overwhelming for the kiddo because he couldn't see outside. Like it wasn't something that was beneficial. So I know they're trying to create quiet spaces, but it just wasn't homey feeling for them.
Sure. And that makes sense why that would be difficult to do in every place. So what I'm doing right now is trying to get all the links that we have talked about and put those into the chat. And that way, whether someone is listening by phone, just listening, or if they are watching, hopefully you'll still be able to just click a link in the chat box and it will take you to some of these places that Rachel has talked about. And so, Rachel, tell me and our audience why travel is, I mean, so, okay, you have some troubles and you can't travel. Too bad, so sad. Like, why is it important that, you know, some of these places have these opportunities available and they are making accommodations for families or individuals who have some of these needs?
Yeah, I mean, travel, like some families, that's part of their life. Before I had kids, I was someone who always traveled. And if I had to stop traveling, like, that's kind of part of my quality of life is travel. Like, it's something I look forward to. When I have a trip booked, I feel like it helps me get through the winter knowing something warm is coming in the future. So really thinking about the quality of life for our families and how travel, I mean, going there, having that time to just relax is really important for people that maybe have a lot of stress within their lives and need that break, but also the memories created for these families. So, I mean, my kids, when they're talking about things in the past, it isn't their birthday parties. It's not things that happened often at school. It's our trips. Those are the core memories they have. And it really is really meaningful to us as a family. And I mean, that's something I really want to make sure other families get to experience. So these resorts are starting to see that these families do want to travel. I mean, IBCCS did a survey a few years ago. I recently did a parent survey where it's 90% of families want to travel. They just don't know the resources that are available to them. And so by learning these resources, hopefully then they will feel more comfortable traveling, knowing that there is the support there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend of mine and they stopped giving their kids gifts at Christmas and on their birthdays when they were like 8 or 10 years old, and they have done experiences. And this particular friend happens to be a huge Disney person. And so that is typically where they go, is on a cruise or to Disney World or Disneyland. And, you know, so they don't have that neurodivergence need that we're talking about today, but that is a huge part of their life. Absolutely. And I know too, the example that you gave about the memories, we've taken our nieces and nephews on a Brandon Day or a Caroline Day or whatever. And our daughter, you know, like we tried, like I said, we didn't travel a lot, but we tried to take her. And yeah, it's not like, oh man, the favorite thing I ever did was a particular toy. You know, more often than not, it has to do with that connection that you have when you go on the trip. And even if it doesn't turn out to be a perfect magical Disney type of vacation, you know, that everybody thinks is going to happen, even the silly thing, even the negatives can turn into a silly thing later on down the road, you know, like, remember when, you know, you vomited all over after a certain ride, or, you know, and that we look back and we laugh at those things.
I've definitely had those experiences. Last week when we were in Disney, we had planned reason going to Disney last week was the Christmas party. So Sunday we had the Christmas party and I was tracking the weather and it was rain. I was like, you know what? We're going to give it a try. We'll go. I mean, we paid for it. We're here. Like, this is our only day in Magic Kingdom. Let's see what we can get done. I think they got 3 inches of rain within like a 4 or 5 hour span. It was complete down.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I had rain, like we were going through puddles, like almost up to like my knees. Like it was,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. We didn't last very long. Let's just say that. But right. I mean, my kids are like, they remember pieces of it. Now, I mean, it's only been a week, but there were fun parts to it. Yeah. Yeah. So there's always memories to be made. I mean, it was definitely a bummer for us, but the overall trip, I mean, it didn't ruin the whole trip for us. We still had tons of great memories. So,
yeah. And we've been really kind of focused on theme parks and, you know, what can happen when you're at one of these parks, but a lot of people don't go to theme parks. So are there, you know, we mentioned at the beginning that airports can be very overwhelming. So do most of the airports around the country or around the world have things to help in these kinds of situations where someone might need some sort of an accommodation?
Yeah. So the basic one that most people know about is TSA PreCheck. So you can, I mean, you have to pay for this through, but some credit, like travel credit cards, they will give you a credit for TSA PreCheck. So that helps within just that first piece of like, okay, the security line is really long, but if I have TSA PreCheck, it's going to be a little bit shorter. So that's one piece families do just to help with the shorter lines. I've had where maybe not all of the parents, like both parents get TSA PreCheck, but one gets it. And then you can take the kids. If they're, I think it's 13 and under, you can take them through with you without them having their own. So I had a family. I had a family travel last week and that's what they did. Mom got TSA PreCheck. She took the two kids with her through PreCheck. Dad just went through regular security, but then they were able to kind of get comfy, get some food once they were on the other side of security and like kind of just have some downtime while they waited for dad. So that worked for them. Some families may want to all like go together. And then that would mean both parents get TSA PreCheck. There's also, if you're going international, you would need global entry, which is similar to TSA PreCheck. Then there's TSA Cares. So this is a program that most of the airports do recognize. And that is, you 72 hours prior to your flight, you reach out to TSA Cares to ask for a staff member to support you through the security and getting to your gate. So that's just then an extra support for getting through sometimes a long wait, or just like, I mean, getting all the bags into the checkpoint, like that can be tricky for some families. So just having that extra person is helpful too. And that also kind of is a trigger then to the TSA agents working that these people, this family needs a little bit more time because sometimes they are rushing you along. But right. Another thing to help with that is a lot of the airports, even some international, recognize the sunflower lanyard. So it's a specific lanyard with like sunflowers, but you could also just have something that is a sunflower if you don't have the lanyard. And that alerts airports staff that you have a special need and may need a little bit more time. So then they're not rushing you as much. And maybe they're explaining things a little bit more to you if needed.
And when our focus has been on children with some neurodivergence, but this can apply to like the TSA cares specifically. This triggered this thought is that if it's somebody who, maybe there's two people and one of them is in a wheelchair and it's not a motorized wheelchair that they can maneuver easily, but the one is pushing the other one. So would that be something that TSA cares could help with as well?
Yes. Yeah.
But. Okay. And so when you're talking about the international travel, it reminded me of a situation that a dear friend of mine was in, and she can walk short distances, but going through an entire airport, she needed to have a wheelchair. But because she could get up out of the wheelchair, she was in a different country. When she, at some point, she stood up for some reason, I can't remember what it was, and the TSA or whatever it's called in this other country became very belligerent with her. And then it was a language that she didn't speak. They didn't speak very much English and trying to explain everything. So not only did she have a disability, but she was in a foreign country. Are there things that people can do before a trip that you're aware of that could support her? Because it was a traumatic experience for her. I'm not going into all the details that she shared. There were many, many things that I listened to her with mouth gaping open because it was just one horrific thing after another.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I have heard a couple stories of individuals having trouble international. My recommendation is that you create like a card explaining your disability and have ChatGPT, there's different resources mm-hmm. to translate it into that language. Because I think if it was a language barrier and they didn't understand, like I can only walk a short distance, like, and that's why right. I can get up.
right.
That may have been, if they were able to present that prior, that may have helped in that situation. It's hard to tell. Right. But I recommend that for families for allergies, even so simple as, an allergy is considered a concern for some families where if you're in a foreign country, they may not understand my child has a pistachio allergy. So having it written in that language so that mm-hmm. you're not having to try to translate in that moment and it becomes stressful in the moment is helpful.
Yeah, that's. And I do think she had a card. I know she has an accommodations card, but I don't know if she had it in the language that was native to the country where she was in. She was on a missions trip.
Okay.
And so, I'm not sure if it was in that other language. So we've talked about, is there anything else? Because I feel like I might have cut you off as far as airports go.
So there are some airports that have sensory rooms, which is really nice. Like an area where maybe there's games, things like that. I have families that maybe do travel a lot. So maybe one of the parents has a credit card that gets into a lounge. So things like that can be really nice, just a quieter area for families to get some food, relax. So always consider those pieces.
Okay. Awesome. So what about, we talked about autism on the seas and how that can help, at some of the theme parks and stuff, but what about cruises? Because that's another thing that, many families take.
Yeah. So Autism on the Seas focuses mainly on Royal Caribbean right now, but hopefully in the future they'll expand. But I have had a lot of families that do Disney Cruise Line, and Disney Cruise Line is amazing with the characters, the activities. There's a lot going on, and I've had very successful family trips, but the support for specific families with autism isn't quite there. Maybe they need another staff, and it's just not there for that, like it is with the autism on the seas. But Disney does accommodate with, I'll email them prior saying, hey, this kiddo sometimes is sensitive to noise. Can you make sure they're in a quieter area of the dining room? And they will accommodate those types of things.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's a kind of not simple, but I mean, it's not a terribly arduous process. Yeah. So I do know a few other people who are travel agents, and in listening to you, is this something that kind of the average or typical travel agent would know all of the things, or did you have to do some sort of specialized training? And is it something that you have to, I don't want to take business away from you, but if you're not local to somebody or they can't get a hold of you, can they just go to their local travel agent or their best friend who's a travel agent and, you know, kind of find some of these things?
Yeah. I mean, the information is out there, but I have gone through specific courses. So my agency, because we have a director of accessible travel, we have our own accessible travel course within our agency for agents to go through to learn what resources are out there. There's also IBCCS has a training for travel advisors that you complete every couple years to go over more of a broader travel industry and how they support travel. And there's Autism Double Checked also that has a course as well for travel advisors. So I have completed all three of those. But also, I mean, I would say a lot of the information I reviewed within those courses are things that I had learned as a BCBA. Just a lot of background on what autism is, some of the challenges individuals with autism could experience within traveling, things like that, and then how to support them.
And so when you went through, I know you said that, so a typical travel agent in a lot of cases is not going to have your BCBA background. And so I think it is very important when we're talking about your background, like what sort of things did come out in those trainings that you think the average travel agent wouldn't know and wouldn't know how to address it?
Yeah.
Like, do they talk about like how to deal with specific behaviors, or what exactly did you mean when you said that?
No. So they just like kind of like the overall, like what is autism? What are some of the challenges? Like we talked about, like some kids are like may elope, they're sensitive to loud noises. So that just helps travel advisors understand that like crowded spaces may not be the ideal place for an individual that is sensitive to loud noises. It's very basic, I would say. Having my agency and having the director of accessible travel, she actually is a mom of an individual with autism. That has been the best resource for me because when there's certain suppliers like Disney Cruise Lines that I have questions for, she has, if I can't find the information on their site, she usually is able to help me.
Okay, good. That's awesome. Okay. So is there anything else on cruises? I don't want to, I know we have a couple other that I can think of at least.
Yeah. I mean, there's
types of travel.
Yeah. Carnival Cruise Line will give sensory bags. Culture City provides those for the cruise, which is nice, like headphones, some fidgets, things like that. So you can request one of those if you're on a Carnival cruise. But most of the cruise lines a lot of times we have allergies that are a concern. So they're trying to be as accommodating as possible for things like that. They have accessible rooms if needed on cruise ships. So there's resources available.
Okay. And so we've talked about cruises. We've talked about theme parks. We've talked about airports. Before we go any further, what does it cost someone to use your services?
Yeah. So me as a travel advisor, my services are included within like booking the trip. So when you book a trip, that supplier, Disney World, Royal Caribbean, like they're the ones that kind of pay me. So you're not having to pay anything additional for my service.
Shut up. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, but if a family's trying to do this on their own, can they reach out to you and get your help? Or, and then if they do it that way, is there a fee involved?
Yeah. So I have to be able to, like, if you're, it's more like you're booking a trip with me, that then that's how I get paid.
Okay. So
if you're looking for information, then I mean, I typically end up booking the trip, so I haven't come into that piece yet. Right.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. Cause I know whenever
hotel room in, you know, in New York, like I can help with that. It doesn't have to be these big elaborate trips that I book.
Ah, okay. That's good to know, because I will be honest, all of my trips I plan myself. If I were to ever do like an overseas trip, then I would, you know, want to use my friends who have all of that kind of experience and knowledge. And so I wonder if there aren't, you know, a lot of families who do like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to book a hotel because, you know, I'm going to travel 3 hours away. So I don't need a flight. I don't need, you know, whatever, but I do need a hotel. So people can come to you for that piece of it only. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If they need just,
okay. Okay. Perfect. And what sort of, I mean, I know that, you know, hotels, especially the bigger ones, have to be ADA compliant. What does that look like as far as what do they have to do and what should families be aware of? Like, oh, you know, I didn't think that a hotel had to have this, but apparently they do. So, I mean, I know ramps and accessibility, but are there any other type of like social emotional things that they have to do now?
I mean, so some hotels are going through like autism certified programs so that mm-hmm. the staff are trained. It could, I mean, there's Marriott's, Hilton's out there that have gone through the training, not all of them, but usually the higher destination places they're getting mm-hmm. certified. But there's some, like some hotels have, if there's a shower area that needs to be accessible, they have that. Some are, the rooms are set up for someone that maybe has some hearing disability, things like that. There are some hotels that do accommodate those pieces.
And so what would be your number one recommendation to anyone with any sort of difference, if they don't want to call it a disability, when they're traveling? What is your biggest piece of advice?
I mean, being proactive and finding out what is available at the destination they're going to is really important. So I try to give as much information prior to families traveling. So in the airport, here's the resources you have available to you. When you get to that destination, here's the resources available. And I mean, having everything lined up is really important too. You don't want to get to a destination and just say, hey, I'm going to Uber to the hotel. Because what if, I mean, I've gotten to Atlanta to be specific. I've gotten there where I have waited over an hour for an Uber. Like I can't even call like so insane. And I've gone back and forth. Like I one time was like, do I just go get on the train? And then I go to the train right. and that line was long. And I'm like, okay, I'm just Ubering. Like it was really long. So I would not, if you have kids that aren't going to be able to wait, have that transportation set up. Like you need everything set up for you prior to traveling. Don't just say, oh, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah. And we keep referring to kids, but as you mentioned earlier, some of our families, their kid is in their 30s or 40s or 50s. And so, you know, it is, even when you're traveling, you know, or it's that, like we said before, it's a caregiver, you know, providing this for a loved one. And so is there anything for caregivers included when, I mean, I know a lot of these things sort of peripherally are for the caregiver, but, you know, more directly for the individual that is having these issues. So is there something for caregivers too?
Yeah. So, I mean, that, like, are you thinking just while on the trip with the family or something separate?
Yeah. While the people are traveling.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, within a lot of these places, when they have like that respite, or if they have a childcare, beaches, resorts, and the Caribbean has childcare for kids, like that's giving the caregivers time away to kind of mm-hmm. do their own thing. They can have a nice dinner. Maybe they want to go snorkeling somewhere when they're at a beaches resort. Like they can go do that on their own without when their kid is in that childcare. So there are things like that. But there's also, I mean, we at Travelmation have a caregiver like trip where it's just caregivers that they're so they've been able to find care for their kids while they go away for a long weekend, they get to meet other families that maybe have individuals with a disability, and it's just time for them to kind of relax and socialize with others.
That's incredible. And do you help them? I mean, because I hear that frequently from the parents of the students that I've worked with over the years, is that they don't have anybody that, you know, I mean, they have to take their kids to the grocery store, but they would rather not because, you know, there might be something that would trigger a meltdown. But even a short, you know, hour long, having someone come in and watch. So I'm really struggling. Like, how do you find someone for an extended weekend?
Yeah, that is the tricky piece, unfortunately. I mean, a lot of times it's if they have family that is able to watch, or if there is maybe a babysitter that has experience working with families with autism, and maybe they started with just almost like a helper, and then it became like a babysitter for dinner, and then one night away, and, you know, like they build up to a longer period so that they could get time away. So those are some options. I don't know how long, because I know like within my state, there are opportunities for kids to go to like a respite over a long weekend. Mm-hmm. Where they go. I don't know what other states have that kind of resources available, but that's like through the state support.
Okay. And I want to just touch briefly, and then we're going to have to start wrapping up. And I know we didn't really talk about resorts was the other place that I could think of that, you know, about travel, but I mean, we kind of touched on individual hotels and if you just need a couple of nights at a hotel stay. But you mentioned the buildup to that weekend away. And I want to touch on that because I don't think a lot of families who don't have to do that understand that process. And I just wanted to emphasize it that, you know, you have friends and family who have someone in their family that is neurodivergent, and ask them if they want you to watch their child for an hour. Because that could give them that hope that maybe we could build up to something overnight. And, you know, it might take a little bit of prep before you watch their child to make sure that you know the things. But I think we miss out on a lot of joy ourselves, those of us who don't have someone in our family who is neurodivergent, because we think that difference is so big that we can't handle it. And so I encourage anyone who's listening who knows family and friends who don't go out much or who don't travel much, to, you know, point them in the direction of Rachel and, you know, say, hey, she might be able to help you with some of these obstacles. But also, like, you know, can I get to know your kid better? And I'd like to, you know, give you that. And when we say respite, it's just caregiving. It's just time away from the situation. Because when you're in that situation, 24/7, 365, it's exhausting. And so finding a somebody to reach out and provide that little bit of support every once in a while is amazing. And I'm honest, I'm not good at this. I should probably be reaching out to former students and their parents and say, hey, you want me to hang out with your kid for a while and you can go do X, Y, and Z. So that was as much for me as anybody who's listening. So Rachel, we've got about 5 minutes before we need to say goodbye. Do you want to cover resorts? Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you, or that we have, and you want to, you know, go back and emphasize a little bit more? like I said, we've only got about 5 minutes, so I want to make sure we hammer everything out that we wanted to express today.
I can quickly go over resorts because there are some amazing options out there. I had mentioned beaches, so they have all staff have completed the autism certification program through IBCCS. So they their childcare is supportive when you send your child there for that time, but also the staff around the resort are very understanding. I have families that have gone with individuals with autism, and it has been the best vacation they have been on, just because the parents actually getting to relax. And then, like, if you have Sesame Street fans, they have cute things like Elmo, or I think it's Elmo, one of the characters tucks you it, like, you can pay for them to like come tuck the kid in for bedtime. Like, that can be life-changing for a kid. So there's cute little things like that as well. They have like a Sesame Street parade thing like during the day. So that's a lot of fun. There's also Nickelodeon resorts. They also have completed one of the programs for the autism certification. So that's another great family resort for families to go on vacation to. Within the US, there's Margaritaville. So those are kind of scattered a lot of times in the warmer locations, Texas, California, Florida. There is one opening up in Cape Cod as well, that hopefully will be certified soon. So those are some nice within the United States places, and that they're scattered other locations as well, but they're certified as well.
What was the last one you just said? Sorry, I was trying to spell Nickelodeon, good. And I was getting
Margaritaville Resort.
Margaritaville,
yeah.
And then, okay, so I just put in beaches, Nickelodeon, Sesame Street, Margaritaville. That those are all resorts that you can look into that have many of their staff trained or have services.
Yeah, the Sesame Street piece is part of beaches. It's not, it's
all. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, it's at beaches. They have the Sesame Street. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I mean, there's just like little things, like when I work with families, if they're going on a cruise, I send them, okay, here's locks you can put on the doors, just like alarms, things like that are always important. Anywhere you travel, to be honest, that's important for families. In case you're sleeping and the kid gets up and starts wandering, the alarm would go off for the hotel room, or if you have a balcony, things like that. I often send like social stories for specific trips, Disney, especially since that's a big one. So I send social stories. Families are welcome, like reach out and we can set up a time to talk if you're looking to go somewhere. I know spring break, I've gotten a lot of requests for spring break next year. It's gotten cold or people are like, okay, we need to plan something soon.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So again,
plan spring break.
Yeah. To get a hold of Rachel, it's rachelmorelli@travelmation.net. And then her website is rachelmorellitravel.com. And again, those things are in the chat of this thread. So if you are listening as just the podcast version, you can check out the YouTube channel where this is listed and you will get that information from the chat, or just type in Rachel Morelli, RachelMorelli. And Rachel, thank you. This has been so helpful and so informative. And I really hope that many people will reach out to you to get your services or, to get advice from you, because I think travel and having those experiences and seeing other things, and like you said, having something to look forward to, you know, we're in the cold days. Winter officially hasn't started, but it's cold and snowy in a lot of the country already. And people are already wanting those warmer temperatures. So make those plans, reach out. Again, thank you so much, Rachel, for being my guest today. And guys, make sure that you are sending me people whose stories would be great stories for me to tell. And make sure you're liking and subscribing. It is almost Christmas, so Merry Christmas to those of you who are listening at around the holiday season. Thank you so much. And remember, we know who we are, but not who we will be. Everybody have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.